We're in the middle of Sefer Rus, and we're talking about when Boaz came to Ruth and told her that make sure to stay in my field and follow my boys, my girls, actually sent her to be more exact, and collect with them, and you'll be okay. So we're now on Pasuk Yud, which is on page 1 on the top, where you see the first word is not there, that's why I wrote it in. Vatipo Apanel. She fell on her face. Vatishtachu Arza, and she bowed down to the ground. Vatomer, and she said, a love to Boaz, Madumatazichem Inecha, why have I found favor in your eyes? Laki Raini, to come to recognize me, Vanochi Nochria, and I am a foreign girl, a stranger. Now I'm going to read here Pasuk Yud Aleph Beis Yud Gimel together, and then go back one by one, okay? Because we'll see. You'll see why in a minute. Vayan Boaz vayomer lo. Boaz responded and he said to her, "Who gate? Who godly? It was told over to me. Kiola shalasis es chamoseich. Everything you did for your mother lo. Achrei mosi sheikh. After your husband died. Vatazvi avich v'imech. And you left your father and your mother. Veretz maratech and the land of your birthplace. Vatelchi el amish lo yadat. And you went to a nation which you did not know. Tmol shilshom. Yesterday or yesteryear and." Beforehand, Yishalem Hashem Polach. May God repay your activities. Usei Maskrutech Shlema Amim Hashem Elokei Yisrael, and may your reward be complete before God, the God of Israel. Asher Bos Lachasos, who you came to take shelter Tachas Kenofav, underneath literally his wings. Vatomer, and she said, Em Tochein Beinecho Adoni, may I find favor in your eyes, my master. Kinim Tavuke, or rather, I have, perhaps it's past tense, I have found favor in your eyes, Kinim Chamtoni, because you have consoled me, V'chidibarto Alev Shivosecho, and you've spoken on to the heart of your slave, V'anochi Loyekach Shivosecho, whereas in reality, I'm not even anywhere near as good as any one of your slaves. Okay, now we'll go back. Now, if you do me a favor, please turn to page 11. No, 12. Page 12.
Your numbering?
That's my numbering. Okay, and these are my notes. Now, first of all, before we get into the actual discussion here of these psukim, before we get into the actual discussion of the psukim, the Malbim explains that Ruth denies her own midos tovos here. She says, I don't understand why matzasi chein. Normally in Tanakh, wherever it says matzasi chein, that has to do with grace. Now grace means for no good reason. Sometimes you say that a person should be zochet rachmanos or to chesed. Chain is simple grace, and that means that of course you find favor in somebody's eyes because of some undefinable, intangible quality. So Ruth obviously had tremendous midos tovos in that she accompanied her mother-in-law back from Eretz Yisrael, and that she went out now to collect in the fields. Yet she doesn't realize all of that in herself. And therefore she disgusts herself, she says, I don't understand why you pay attention to me. It's just obviously some irrational metzias chein. Besides that, I have no yichus, anochi nochriya. I'm a foreigner. So she cannot understand this hakara, this great cognitive recognition which Boaz affords her. Chazal also note that here she was nibo v'lo yoda manibo. She prophesied unbeknownst to her. She said lahaki reini, which Chazal identify as a lashon of ishus, a lashon which has to do with marriage. And here she was already prophesizing, although not beknownst to her, obviously was subconscious, that she would be married to Boaz someday. Now the Targum on these three psukim is very, very important because it tells us a discussion which is not apparent in the psukim themselves. And I wrote over word for word here the Targum. Pasuk Yud on page Yonatan on page 12. Va'ana me'ama nuchra, I'm from a foreign nation. Mibnason de Moab, from the daughters of Moab. The lo itke, who are not pure, lamel bichnishta da Hashem, who are not pure to come into the congregation of Israel. So why are you paying attention to me? Vaasi Boaz Varmala, Boaz responded, said to her, Ischavo Ischavali, it's been told over to me, Amemar Chachimaya, in the name of the wise men, the Kadgozer Hashem, that when God made a decree that Moabites cannot enter the congregation of Israel, Lo Gozer Nukbaya. He didn't make such a decree on the women, Elohein al Gubraya, only on the men. This Amr Alai ben Avul was told to me in a prophecy, that there will come forth from you kings and prophets. Begin tivusa, because of the good, the avadatayim chamotzach, which you did with your mother-in-law. The parnasas you saw, that you supported her in Moab still, beside the misbalech after your husband died. The shavak dachatich, and you left your avodazara, your foreign, your literally means your fears, but here means your foreign, your idolatry. Vamech, and your nation. Avich, your father, Vimech, and your mother, Va'ara, the Alduseich, and the land of your birthplace, Va'zalt, Lizgayora, and you came to be Mizgayer, to convert Ulamesa Ben Am, and to sit, to live among a nation, which was not known to you, Mismalei Mikamoi, from yesterday and the day before. Yigmol Hashem Lech Gvul Tav.
She converted before she came.
She converted on the way, but it wasn't fully complete until she came. Obviously, there's no based in Moab to accept her. He knew, well, I don't believe that the Targum means this literally. I believe the Targum is giving a subconscious conversation between Ruth and Boaz, because then obviously Ruth would know that Boaz is going to marry her and this whole business is going to take place. Yet we know that they have to go through all these tricks in the next parak. So I think the Targum is giving another level of conversation, a la Nibe velo yadu man Nibe, that they didn't know this level was going on beneath the surface, but it was going on. Yigmol Hashem lech mutav, may God give you a good reward ba'alma hadein. And in this world, Alavodach Tav, and your good deeds, V'ye Agrich Shema, may you have a full reward also, Alma Da'asi, in Olam Haba, Mikodam Hashem Elokod Yisrael, from God, the Lord of Israel, Da'asis Liz Gayora, because you came to convert Liz Chaba, and to take shelter, Tchol Shkinas Yikrei, in the shadow of His divine presence. V'ahuz Chusan, in that merit, Tishayz V'min Din Gehenna, may you be saved from the Din of Gehenna, and your portion should be im Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Vamras, and she said, Ashkach Rachamim ben Nachri Bani, I found favor in your eyes. Arumni Chamtani, because you've consoled me, Vachshartani, and you've kashered me, Lemitke, to purify myself, Bekol of Hashem, and come to the congregation of God. Varumin, because Malilta Tanchumin Alev Amsach, you spoke words of consolation on the heart of your servant. Daftachtani, you promised me, Lemechsan, to inherit Alma Da'asi, the world to come, Hebeti Kusa, and you said, I have tzidkus to do this. Vana leisli schu, whereas I have no merit. Lemei chel chelke la'amu da'atzi, to have a portion of the world to come. Afilu im amsoch, even chalim chalim amsoch, even with one of your servants. So this is the Targum's discussion of what went on beneath the surface here. Now, it's a lot of stuff. And obviously, there's a couple of things we should comment on here. So let's comment pasuk by pasuk. First of all, pasuk Yudal, if you take a look back in the text, it says that Boaz commented how wonderful and how laudable her behavior was. So Vayim says a cute word here. It says, Malbim's, the Ruth's conduct was especially laudable, since generally daughters-in-law detest their mothers-in-law. So it was certainly a very admirable gesture on Ruth's part to be so nice to Naomi, who was, after all, her mother-in-law. In Pasuk Yud Beis, Boaz is telling her, that you should have a schar, according to the Targum, in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Why? Because we know that the concept of Gemilus Chasodim is Elu Dvarim Sh'Adam Ochel Peroseim B'Olam Hazeh. Person gets rewarded in Olam Hazeh. V'Akeren Kehemes Olam Haba. The primary reward is in Olam Haba. So really, Boaz is saying, since you did such great chesed, it's obvious. This is your stature. Coming back with Naomi and supporting Naomi when Naomi was down in the dumps and so poor. Going out and collecting the leket. Excuse me? Milus Chesed, yes. Naomi, Ruth didn't expect anything in return from Naomi. From Naomi, she didn't expect anything back. No, that was just that she loved her. What? Oh, yeah, that's also true. Chesed Shalemes is when there's no return, but Ristangus Chesed. Right, because that's called Chesed Shalemis. That's called Chesed Shalemis. So in any event, so a couple of other things important here is that in the Targum and Pesukim base is that the Targum says two things. First, you're saved from Gehenna, and also get a reward in the world to come. What are these two levels? So it seems that the Gerus was an act of tshuva. When a ger is misgayer, then they're kakotam shenola dami, and that saves them from any gehenim on any of their previous iniquities. So I believe that that's what Boaz is emphasizing, that since you came, lizgayora, therefore you're saved from gehenim. That's point number one. However, in the pasuk before, it says that you're going to give birth, in pasuk yudav, the Targum said that you're going to give birth to kings and to prophets, and it says there that the reason why that's going to happen is because you left your land to come to our land and assist your mother-in-law. So we see that there are two different things here. The Gerus saves from Gehenna. What gives her the status of being the mother of kings and of prophets? And there's a pasuk in Melachim, which says that when Shlomo HaMelech became king, Vatosem Kisei La'em HaMelech, and Chazal say, Em HaMelech is not his mother, but Sheva. That's Ima Shel Malchus, Rus. She was alive still at the time of Shlomo. She saw Shlomo as king, and she was sitting there on a throne next to Shlomo HaMelech. So that comes from her extraordinary chesed. That really was what allowed her to become the king, because an essential foundation for Malchus, for being a king, is to have the trait of chesed. A, because the king has to be a magnanimous, a beneficent king, but besides that, also because he has to be the role model for all of Klal Yisrael. Has to filter down from him to all of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, you need the outstanding mid of Klal Yisrael, which is to be Rachmanim and Gomlei Chasodim. You need the king to represent that, and they had to get that from Ruth. Now, the Malbim has another very important thing to say about this pasuk. The pasuk says, Yishalem Hashem Polech Utei Maskrutech Shlema. What's a poel? A poel, says the Malbim, is somebody who's a contractor, who has specific jobs he has to do. What's a sachir? A sachir is a hired hand who's paid per day or per hour, not for the specific task, but for the amount of time. So what does it mean to be paid for the pu'ula? That means to be paid for specific mitzvahs. That's what the schar for pu'ulos is. And what is maskurteich? Which means not to be paid for specific mitzvahs, but for the totality, that means you should get a reward for becoming Jewish. Because a Jew is a sachir. They're hired. We're workers for God, Ovdei Hashem. And what we do are pe'ulos. Those are tasks which we do. So he's mentioning, Boaz is mentioning both of them, that you should get a reward on both levels. However, says the says Malm, a very interesting thing, that really, to do mitzvahs in order to get reward is a lower level. That really is not the level which a person should reach in life. Of course, Tikunos Ish Socho says you should be Oved Shalom Manasseh Kabbal Pras, not in order to reach a reward. So the Malvim says that Yishalem Hashem Polich, but you should realize eventually that that's not the purpose of the mitzvahs, is not to get rewarded, not in Olam Hazeh, but not in Olam Haba, but rather to be dovek in Hashem, to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to do mitzvahs in order to sanctify oneself. And you should realize eventually you should come, Gabbaz giving a bracha, that you should eventually come to the full cognition of being, that the whole reward of mitzvahs is being chose b'tzatachas kenof, of coming and being under the wings of the Shekhinah itself. Now, a couple of other very interesting things about this pasuk is that one thing is that Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz, who a lot of the Perushim here are from, the Nachas Yosef, says that when it says Shlema, Chazal darshan that as Shlomo. And in other words, because she was so perfect in her chesed, she merited having a great-great-great-grandson, Shlomo HaMelech, and that's alluded to in this pasuk. What? Hundreds of years old, obviously. At least a couple hundred, I would say. Actually, I shouldn't guess, but I think it's something like that. Another important thing, last thing about this pasuk, which I found very important, is that what does it mean tachas kanafav? Now, I never really thought of this before. You know, they say in the Kel Mole is tachas kanfei hashchina. What does it mean tachas kanfei hashchina? So normally it's translated under the wings of the Shechina. You know, what?
Protection.
Can you do me a favor on time? If you find Article Sitter right outside, I want to just check how they translate it. So the truth is that I think that that's not necessarily the right translation. I think that... Yes. Because like we say in davening, in Kriya Shema, right? Al kanfei bigdehem ledorosom. Right? What does it mean? Al kanfei bigdehem? On the corners of the garment. So tachas kanfei ha-shechina doesn't mean underneath the wings of the Shechina, but underneath the garments of the Shechina. Now, even if we translate kanaf like that, it's a little bit difficult, because what garments does the Kodesh Baruch Hu wear? So, let me just check this out before I how they translate here. He translates al kanfei ha-shechina. Well, I mean, his girsa in the Kel Mole is al kanfei ha-shechina. There are two girsas in the Kel Mole. One is tachas and one is al. So if your gore is al, so he translates on the wings of the Divine Presence. See what this says, since you brought it. What? There are two different girsos. The shlo, the normal gear says tachas kanfei hashchina. The shlo said to be gores al kanfei hashchina. So I guess that's why they have it here. He doesn't have the kamole here. No kamole. But in any event, but I think it has to do with garments. And we find that in the Baruchi Nafshi. In Tehillah Kuf Dalet, it says, Baruchi Nafshi, it says, Hashem, Hashem, Elokai, Gadol Tamaod, Hod v'hodor lavashto, you wear glory, o te'or kasama, and you wrap yourself in light like a garment. So what does that mean, you wrap yourself in light like a garment? So the Michtam Eliyahu has an explanation, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's radiance is so powerful that it's like a mushroom. They give to it is light. Light. You can only see... Can you see light in the room? No. You can only see light when it hits an object. You can see the light reflected off this, and that's why you see gray, because you're seeing the light reflecting off an object which only reflects the color gray. When you see light in the fixture, you're not seeing the light itself. You're seeing the light as it hits the bulb, as it hits the screen, whatever's in front of the shed, the light. You can't see light in the room. You can only note the presence of light when it hits something else. The same thing is true about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself directly. In Lo Demusaguf, Ein Oguf, we can't see him, we can't understand him, we can't comprehend him, we can't grasp the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we grasp Hashem? Only by his reflections. By how the light hits other things. And that's, you know, if you put a screen around the light, you can see that there's a light there. So that's what it means, Ota Or Kasama. Because Baruch Hu put a screen around himself, which is the Bria, the creation in which we find Hashem, and that's the only way we can perceive Hashem. So, who comprises the screen through which we perceive Hashem? Am Yisrael to the world, and in Am Yisrael, the Tzadikim. The tzaddikim are the manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. And as the Targum says, Shechinas Yikare, his divine Shechina. What it was, where is the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Famous Chazal. What does it say in Parshas Truma? V'shachati b'socham. B'socho lo ne'emar. It doesn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells in the Mishkan, which is in the middle of Klai Yisrael. But b'socham b'libon shel Yisrael, in the hearts of Klai Yisrael. So here what we're saying is, you too, Ruth, will be part and parcel of the Shechina, of creating a divine presence and reflecting the presence of Hashem in the world. You're going to be part of the Kanfei HaShechina by coming with this great Tzidkus and becoming part of the Jewish nation. So that's, I believe, a possible pshat in Tachas Kenafav, and not that it's wings, which really, if you think about it, doesn't make any sense. If you translate Al Kanfei, meaning on top of the wings, so I can understand, you know, like it says, God took us out like on eagle's wings. But Tachas Kanafa makes no sense. Why would we want to be under his wings? So therefore, I think... What? Excuse me?
If I were a child in the nest, I would like to...
If you were a bird in the nest, huh? There is that protection. That could be. Okay, but I think possibly another way of interpreting is Tachas Kanafa as part and parcel of the garment of the manifestation of Hashem in this world. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Let's go back. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Back to page one. Vatomer Emtochein Beinecho Adoni. I found favor in your eyes. Kinicham Toni, because you consoled me. V'chidibar to Alev Shivchosecha, and you spoke to my heart. V'nochi Loikeachas Shivchosecha, even though I'm not like one of your servants. V'yom LaBoaz. So Boaz says to her, Leis Ocha, the time of the when they ate. Go Shalom, come close. V'chav min alechem, and eat from the bread. V'tavalt bitech b'chometz, and dip your bread into the vinegar. V'ateishim mitzad ha-kotrim, she sat on the side of the harvesters. V'yitzpat l'koli, and Boaz gave her a little bit of toast. V'yitzpat l'koli means he held on to it and gave it to her. Vatochon, she ate vatisban, she was satiated. Vatosan, she left over to take back to Naomi at home. So the Malim. What? It's present tense. Even though it sounds like future tense, it means present tense. She means now. I'm not like one of your shvachos. It's like a poetic way of saying it. The Malbim says that Boaz ate with the Kotrim, very interesting thing, for a halachic reason. Why? Normally Boaz is a great man, he's going to eat with his workers. So Bisman Hazel, we would say, yeah, it's a way of getting them to be more productive. But then the Malbim says no, because halach is if Poalim don't eat with the Balabas, then they have to bench only an abbreviated bench and get back to work. But if the Balabas eats with them, they can make a full benching, and that's why Boaz ate with them. So he called Ruth to the most dignified spot at the top of the table, Goshi Halom, close to me, and he offered her a full loaf, right? An entire loaf, but from which she brought leftovers home. In her anova, she refused to sit there. She sat next to the kotim, she sat next to the harvesters. Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz points out that the hay in law, Vayomer law Boaz, is no mapik. Normally it should have a mapik hay, right? Vayomer lo. But here it says it without the mapik. Why? Because of the word halom in the next line. Halom means draw nigh. But this also says the Rabbi Yosef harks back to the altikrav halom, which was said to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't come close to the snake. And by David HaMelech it says, Mi anochi ki avisani ad halom. Who am I that you brought me so close to you, David HaMelech says. And this refers to Malchus. It refers to kingship. It says halom there. It doesn't say halom. It's Basya says to him, says to her, come halom. Nope. Sorry. But Perek Beis, page 296. I don't see it there. But in any event, so what does halom mean? Halom, I think, well, Rabbi Yosef says this. Halom refers to Malchus, to kingship. He doesn't explain why exactly, but, well, maybe he does, I don't remember. But halom, Moshe Rabbeinu is told, don't come halom. You're not going to be a king. David HaMelech has brought halom. And Ruth, of course, who's the ancestor of the Avelch, has also brought halom. In a very interesting Gemara a couple weeks ago in Daf Yomi, it says Adonio wanted to be king. And in order to be king, he wanted to take over from David HaMelech, even David HaMelech's lifetime. So what he did is he put on the crown. The kings of base, the house of David had a crown. And the crown had a bar which went right down the middle. And all the people suitable to be kings in the house of David would have a hole in the middle of their head, I don't know if a hole or a furrow, a groove, right? And the crown would sit right there. So it says Adoniel tried it on, it didn't work. But the Lashon used in Gemara is Bikesh Lohomo Lohomoso. He wanted to be Holem him, the same Lashon of Halom, and it didn't work. So there Halom means fit. But it's interesting that the same word is used. So it has to be some calling a person to Malchus is called bringing that person Halom. And who can be brought Halom? Somebody who's Loh, without a Mapike. With a Mapik, it's a hard. It means something which has substance. Without a hay, it means Anav, true Anivus. Now, the thing is, Moshe Rabbeinu was also very big Anav, but he was too big an Anav. And that's something which we're going to see by Rus. Rus was very modest, very humble, but she had a bold streak about her. And that's interesting, Moshe Rabbeinu, who lost the Malchus, because although he was a big Anav, there's a limit. At the end of 7 days, he said, Shlach Nobiyat Tishlach. Send who you want, not me. Ruth didn't have that attitude. When she was sent, she went. However, Anova is a precondition, but not so much Anova. So that's why she was called Goshi Halom, to come close. Okay. We're going to speak about that more in the next parak. In the meantime, it's a very interesting medrash here. A couple of interesting midrashim. First of all, the Michtam Leo cites a medrash which says, "Mi hu sha'asa chesed imi shetzari chesed." Who somebody did chesed with somebody who needed chesed? Boaz. Boaz with Ruth did chesed, and even though the chesed he did was very small, he just gave her a few pieces of bread. Nonetheless, he gets cited as having done a wonderful thing because habracha shoyre b'soch me'ashos tzadekas. The bracha came about in her stomach; she was full with a little bit, and the rest she took home as leftovers for Naomi. So Milcham Leo says a very interesting thing about this matter. She says, if Hashem brings a righteous poor person to a magnanimous rich person's attention, and that person that does a chesed with that poor person, it's proof that they are both worthy. Then the amount is insignificant vis-a-vis the actual act. Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz says, it's the ambiance which is more important than the actual act. In other words, Boaz might have given her a few crumbs, but he did it with such sense of warmth and kindness that that's really what counts much more than anything else. Now there's another interesting medrash which says that it speaks about a bunch of people. It says, for instance, by Reuven. It says, were Reuven to know that the Torah would write about him that he went to be Matzil Yosef min Habor, he would have made extraordinary efforts to save Yosef min Habor, much more than he actually to save Yosef min Yodah, much more than he did. And it says by Boaz here, and a couple of examples that the Gemara gives, and another one that it gives by Boaz, if Boaz knew that the Navi would describe the chesed which he did with Ruth, he would have given her steaks and, you know, fine cakes, not just a little bit of bread. So normally, the standard shot in that medrash is that it's a gnai. It's derogatory to Reuven, or derogatory to Boaz. It's saying that, listen, don't you realize all your deeds are important? If you realize they're important, then you should do them not just to be Yotzei Zayin, but to do them with all the fervor and all the intensity and all the possible goodness and effort you can bring to bear. That's the Pashat Pshat in the Medrash, which everybody says Pshat in the Medrash. And it's a Musar. The Musar is, you have to realize that, and you'll never know what's the way in which you're going to be recorded. Make sure to give it your all, to do your best. The Reb Tzadok turns that Medrash upside down. Take a look back on page 1. I just saw this today, so I wrote, after I finished writing everything, so I wrote in the margin of page, not page 1, sorry, page 1 of my notes, page 12. It's in the margin here on the left. There, on the margin there.
See,
because it was sideways. See, in the margin, Reb Tzadok, the Divrei Sofim, Ikar Chashivus Amaisa. The primary, and this is a very big Musar ask on the other direction, so it says, the primary significance of a deed, Kasher Eno Magish Koka Chayikr Sheishba. It's when you don't feel how precious it is. Why? The Oz Labra Buso Kokach Lachshur B'davi Yakar. If you know you're about to do a very precious thing, it's not such a big chokhmah to want to do such a precious thing. It's easy, if you know how significant it is. But when you don't know how significant it is, just innocently, you do something which looks in your eyes like it's good. It's something which is suitable to do, like the will of God. Even a light thing is considered to be very much. That's why it says in this pasuk, Yudalid, Barakosuv Lamedcha comes to teach us, Shim Adam Osem Mitzvah, Yasena Belev Sholem. The person does mitzvah, he should do with all his heart. The Zenikra Belev Sholem. This is called Belev Sholem. Kasher Eino Yodea, when he doesn't know Kokach Yakrus Adover, how precious it is. Shakosh Baruch Hu Machtiva Uzikar Lomiyat, then God writes it to commemorate it forever that, he didn't know there was such a precious thing. He just did the right thing, without knowing that it's going to be written in the Torah. At the Rabbah, were we to know that it was written in Torah, and therefore put all the effort into it, it wouldn't be so precious. Because when you know you're on stage, you know you're on trial, of course you're going to do the right thing. It's when you're unaware. It's when you don't know that the Torah is later going to attach great significance to it. That's when the deed has that much more significance. And the primary quality of an individual is when it's a light matter. That in case we don't know, we don't even consider that God is going to write that down at all, but save as Zikaron in a book of commemoration. And that's what the Medrash says in another place. Amazing Medrash. And Kodesh Baruch Hu Ma'ale L'Gdula, Kodesh Baruch Hu does not bring anybody up to a high level, until he checks him in a minor detail. That tests what a good person's true root is. So this Medrash really, Reb Tzadok says, is a Ma'ala. Boaz didn't know that he was being tested. He didn't know how precious this was, but he did the right thing anyway. That shows it. Excuse me? If he threw a mistake, it wouldn't have hurt either.
But he didn't know it was
going to. Right. The main thing is.
He didn't know whether he gave a mistake or not.
Right. He wasn't aware that this was something of crucial significance. And therefore, the fact that he did the right thing anyway, granted, he could have given her more, but that's not the issue. He didn't think to do more. Yeah. No, but that's what. Right, but the measure is saying worry to know it was going to be someday in Nach, right? You bet she would have gone back to town to get the steak and bring it. But that wouldn't have been a Mila. That's what Reb Tzadok is saying. Because he would have just done it because he knew, who knows, it's going to be one day in Nach. No, the Mila is to do not so much, can be a bit sneers, can be modest, but to do the right thing. Even where you don't realize people are watching you or history is placing great emphasis on this matter. That's why I always say that, you know, it could be, it's harder to get up every morning for Daf Yomi early at 6:30 in the morning than it is to be Moiser Nefesh with Shem Shemayim to be Dial Kiddush Hashem. I'm not saying it is, but theory. Why? Because to get up the adrenaline and the transcendent feeling and emotion of sacrifice to Dial Kiddush Hashem, it's a one-time act and you get all that glory. If not from everybody else, in your own mind, you become a hero. But every day, to get up early in the morning, to go to that Fiomi, to go to Minyan, who's giving you glory? Where's the adrenaline? There's no rush to get up in the morning. It says he's Gaber Kari, but how many people actually do it? So it's in those small things in which a person's quality is measured, not in the big things. Okay, that's a plug to come to that Fiomi in the morning. In any event, one other thing in this pasuk is that she dipped her bread in vinegar. Reb Yosef Leib brings a medrash, which Reb Yosef Leibovitz brings a medrash that says that vinegar alludes to Menashe. Because Menashe, King Menashe, would be a great, 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 great grandson of Rus, who was like vinegar, in which he was like Avodah Zarah, brought Avodah Zarah to the Beis HaMikdash. Excuse me. So the question is, why is that mentioned here? Did she do something wrong? It's not clear. He's going to try and explain the basic pasuk Chaf Aleph. I'm a little bit skeptical. We'll see when we get there. Okay, let's see pasuk Tezvav. Vatokam lelakit. She got up to collect again. Vayitza Boaz's Norav, and Boaz commanded his workers, Lamor, to say, Kam ben Amorin to Lakit, let her collect among the sheaves also. Lo tachlumu, don't embarrass her. In other words, that even if she wants to collect shalok din, halachically, poor people are not allowed to go to the sheaves and collect. But Boaz is telling his workers, if you see her do it, don't embarrass her, just let her go on and continue with her collecting. Vagam sholta shulula minatzvasim. Also drop for her, so repetitiously, so she won't realize. Drop for her from the stuff you already collected from the tzvas, via zavtem, and you should leave it for her. Filikton, let her collect, lo sikaruba, and don't rebuke her. So a couple of things here. Is that one thing is that actually I should read Pasuk Yud-Zayin in connection with this. Vatlakit pasode, she gathered in the field ada erev to the evening, vatachbot, and then she threshed. Es asher asasa, asheli keita, that which she collected, vayikefa sorim, and it was like an efa of barley. So Rabbi Yosef Leibowitz says that these three psukim describe A, Rusa's anova, that even though she would, none of this went to her head, and right after the meal, she just went right back to work, even though she got great cover at the meal. B, that Aniim were degraded even back then. So Boaz had to specially warn his workers to leave her alone. Now, Rusa's anova, a noble character, was such that she would not accept handouts. So the workers had to pretend to drop from the gathered grain. The Malim says, halachically, Pasuk Tezayin says, Vazavtem. Why? Because if they gathered it already, it's Chayim and Trumos and Maestros. Leket, Shicha, and Peah, the matonos given to Anim, or inadvertently given to Anim, are not Chayim and Trumos and Maestros. But if they drop from stuff they already collected, and they intentionally drop it, it is chayiv and trumos and maisers. Except there's a way to get out of having to give trumos and maiser. Even something you already collected. What's that? To make it hefker. So vazavtem, this word vazavtem means that he was telling his workers, even stuff you collected, drop in front of her. And when you drop it, make it hefker. Why? So then she'll be able to collect it and take it home with her. Okay? What? Excuse me? Oh, but no, but Boaz is making them shlichim. Boaz is making them shlichim to do it. He made them agents. Now, if you turn to page, my page 13, which has a little 2 on the top and a 13 on the side, then you'll see I quote here a very cute Ibn Ezra. And I think this Ibn Ezra is a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But you'll see that. But I have the 17. See that verse, fascinating, Ibn Ezra? Pamachas, once upon a time, we're at verse 17.
13.
Yeah, on page 13. Yeah, on plus 7. Yeah. It starts on the other side of the page, though. I mean, reading from right to left. Yeah. For the next line. Pamachas, once upon a time, Shalani Adam, a person asked me, this is Ibn Ezra telling us the story, Matam Eifa Sorim, why did she collect an Eifa? That measure. Amartilo, I said to him, "Ain't tam l'shelo zos, there's no, you can't ask such a question. Ki yakosuf siper mahoya. Kasha ramaisa, it's a fact, she collected an eifa. What are you asking, why? That's not klosi beinov. When I said that, I lost all my respect in his eyes. Vayomer li, and he said to me, ki yesh lo tam. I have a reason, there must be a reason for it. Vaniach rashim imenu. He said he had a reason for it. I was silent. Veloshalti, I didn't ask him what his reasons were. Vinei Babi Yom Echad, and he came back on another day. Vamarli, and he said to me, Keshul Tamim Harbi, has many reasons. Ha Echad one, Sherosa Rus Bederach Hanavua, Rus saw in prophecy, Ki Osid Hoya Echad Mibonea, that one of her children, Shlomo HaMelech, would eventually, Lahamid Amud, would put up a pillar in the Beis HaMikdash, Al Shem Bala, in her husband's name. What were the two names of the pillars in the Beis HaMikdash? Two big pillars which held up the sanctuary. What are they called? They had names. Everybody remembers? Yochin Boaz. Those are the names of the two pillars in the Beis HaMikdash. Yochin Boaz. That's why the Pharisee Yisrael Mishnayos called his commentary Yochin Boaz. So one of the pillars' name was Boaz. So Ruth saw that Shlomo HaMelech would call one of the pillars' names Boaz. And V'tam Eifa, and the V'tam Eifa, and the reason why it says Eifa is Tzadik Vav Rimonim. Eifa and Gamacho is 96, and there were 96 pomegranates, I guess decorative pomegranates, Shoyul Amur on that pillar in the base of Mikdash. V'zeh Gamacho Eifa. Upeir Sorim, why did it say an Eifa of Sorim of barley? Kamo Shiurim. Like Shiurim, which means I think he means here like gates. Kamo Shir Benafsho. Shiurim means estimates. Kamo Shir Benafsho, like he estimated. So there are 96 things on I'm not translating it properly. Peyush Saorin Kamoshiori means like measures. Kamoshir Benafsho, like he measured himself that this is what he should do. So here too, there are 96 measures, meaning 96 clusters of pomegranates on this Amud. B'tam Acher, another reason. Vayehi Shtemilos, the word Vayehi, where it says Vayehi Kev Asorin, it means two words. Aramis Fibris, it's written both in Hebrew and in Aramaic. What does it mean? In Aramaic, it means woe. Vayehi in Aramaic means woe. And vihi kasher ruasa, and she saw in Ruach HaKodesh, sheitole Avshalom, that Avshalom would hang. Who remembers how Avshalom died? What? The hair. The hair dangled from the tree, right? Avshalom died. Vinei chof im aleph. There's a chof aleph here, right? It says ki eifa. So ke'efa, the chaf and aleph, what? The chaf and aleph is remes lishnos Avshalom b'moso. It loots Avshalom's age when he died, because he was 21 when he died. V'achar kach efa, se'orim, lashon rabim. And the reason why it says Eifa Sa'arim, Lashon Rabim, is Bavur Yosef Kavelov, because he had a lot of Sa'arim. What's Sa'arim? Hair, right? So Eifa Sa'arim means he had a full measure of hair, and that's how he hung. V'tam Acher, and another reason, Kitchilas Os Ke'efa, because the word, first word of the letter first letter of the word Ke'efa is Chaf. In Tchila Sorim, with the first letter of the word Sorim, which is Shin, is Gematria 320, who be Gematria Yishai, is in the Gematria Yishai, who was, of course, also one of her grandchildren. Shehu Tzadik Gomor, who is a great Tzadik, and that's what it alludes to. When this person says Ibn Ezra, after he told me all these hints, Samach, he was very happy, Vayashav Liva Bekirbo, and his heart was restored within him. So I think the Ibn Ezra is making fun of Gematria here. Sounds like it to me, right?
He was not a big Gematria.
He was obviously not a big Gematria man. Either that, he didn't like Vertlach. But Lamaisa, what about the Eifa? So at first I wanted to think that, maybe we can find something here. So at first I wanted to say that Eifa has to do with Gaiva. Because there's a Gemara like that, and Sanhedrin says that there's a word Eifa in Tanakh, which means Gaiva. And that Ruth is going to sin with Gaiva. But she didn't, and it's wrong. That's not what it means. I'm rejecting that. However, then I found something Taka. I looked at a concordancia. I looked for where Eifa appears, the measure Eifa appears in other places in Tanakh. And I found a beautiful connection. It says in Shmuel Aleph, Yud Zayin, that when David HaMelech was sent by Yishai, his father, to our context. When David HaMelech was sent by Yishai to go to the camp where his brothers were soldiers, and bring them supplies, and what happened as a result of his going to the camp? You know what was going on in that camp. He fought Goliath and killed Goliath, and eventually he became king because of that, right? Because that's when his whole star started to rise. The shear that he was told to take by Yishai was to take an ephah of koli to his brothers. So it seems to be very integrally linked to our pasuk. Bear in mind, who is Goliath descended from? Orpah. Who's Orpah? Ruth's sister. Ruth's chesed vis-a-vis her mother-in-law Naomi allowed her to overcome, allowed her grandchildren to overcome the forces of evil which came from her sister who didn't do chesed with Naomi. Orpah, who went back and didn't accompany Naomi back to Eretz Yisrael. And besides that, Ruth's chesed with Naomi and her diligent work in the field of Boaz led to this event, which was the catalyst, direct catalyst, for David to become the king over Klal Yisrael. So I think these two eifos are linked. Mida keneged mida, that she worked so hard and collected so much food in order to bring it back to Naomi, in order to sustain her, is what mida keneged mida, that chesed, led to that eifa which Yishai sent with David to the camp, that faithful eifa which led David to be a king and to overcome Goliath. I think that that's better than the Ibn Ezra's friend's illusion. Right? It's my own shot, yeah. Okay? So... that's Pasuk Yizayin. Let's go to Pasuk Yudches. Vatisa, she carried her load. Vatovoyer, and she came quickly to the city. Rabbi Yosef Levitt says she came quickly to avoid any preachers because obviously it's getting dark and there are male workers out in the field. She came right back. And when she came back, she didn't boast at all. She just showed, here are the goods. She showed her to her mother-in-law, saw it. But actually, she didn't even show it. Her mother-in-law saw it. But Tote, Vatitin Law, Sasher, Osir, Misava. And besides that, she pulled out some of the loaf of bread from lunch, which wouldn't require any work to bake, and to gave it to Naomi. Vatomelo Chamosa. However, her mother-in-law said to her, wait a second. If only Katayom, where'd you collect today? Vana Sis, and where did you make all this threshed grain? Yima Kirech Baruch. May the person who recognized you and helped you out be blessed. However, there's an undercurrent here that Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz picks up on. She was afraid that Naomi was afraid that Ruth had, you know, fooled around a little bit with some field owner in order to get so much grain. So Vatagel Chamosos, in order to refute that suspicion, so she says to her mother-in-law, don't worry. As the Tagel Chamosos, she told him exactly what happened. But Thomas Shema Isha Shara Sisimo, and she told him, because she knew this would allay all her fears, that the person whom which she worked today, Wahayom, was Boaz, that day was Boaz.
She was very sarcastic.
Yes, very sarcastic.
She'd have to be extremely sarcastic.
Right. Yeah.
I think so.
Well, that's kind of like the Maon says. There was a big chesed. But I think Rabbi Yosef Leibowitz is more correct. Because after all, there was a lot of pizzas back then. And I think that was important. That was a legitimate suspicion. And Makirech, we know Chazal told us earlier, is a Lashon of Ishus, a Lashon of Arias. So the puzzle can be interpreted either way. Atomer Naomi Kalosa. Naomi says to her son of daughter-in-law, if that's the case, Baruch Hu Hashem, thank God, Asher Lo Azav Chazdo Tachaim, he didn't stop giving chesed to the live people, to us, Bes Hamesim, to my deceased family, Elimelech Machol Kilion. Vatomla Naomi, Naomi Seter, Karov Lano Ish, he's related to us. Migalenu, and he's one of our redeemers. So the Malbim points out that there are a couple of things here which went right over Ruth's head because she was not Jewish. The whole concept of Yibum was foreign to her. So therefore, earlier, when Boaz used the lashon of Hakar, when of Tidbakinim Narosai, that you should connect to my girls, so there was a Yibum element in that. And here too, Naomi is saying Im HaMesim. She is preparing Ruth for this potential Yibum relationship. But it went right over Ruth's head. She doesn't know anything about this because, of course, she doesn't come from a Jewish family. And that's why in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, this is the way the Malbim interprets it, Vatoma Rusa Moavia, Ruth doesn't understand that there's this concept of Goel, of Ibum, of redeeming, all these things. So she said, yeah, right, Gamki Amayalai. He also said to me, Imanori Masher Li, with the boys which I have, Tibokin, you should connect. I didn't kill those called Katsir Shali until they finished all the harvest. She didn't know about this whole Ibum business, and she didn't understand that was the undercurrent in Naomi's remarks. Yes. Yes. What? Granted, there's no halachic din of Yibum, but there's a Kabbalah, not Kabbalah, I would say, but there's a mystical concept of Yibum. We'll come to that in the next parak. We'll come to that. In any event, however, Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz quotes a Chazal, and Chazal say about this pasuk Chof Aleph, about Rusa Moavia, Bivade Moavia Yizu, she certainly is a Moavia. Who Omer La, Boaz said, sort of a Kotit Bakirim Narosai. I want you to connect to my girls. V'yomra ima na'ore ma shirli. And she said, and he told me to connect to the boys. So after all her tznias, it's a little bit of prostkite here, a little bit of pretzis. Because Boaz did say, tit bokinim na rosai, and she's mentioning imanorim. So Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz wants to connect this back to the choymetz, and say that since Ruth did still have an element of pretzis in her, that's why she got Menashe. That's why Menashe came out of her. Now, the Mabim also picks up on this, but not in the same negative way. He says that Ruth didn't realize that it's not the Jewish way for boys and girls to mingle together, and therefore she said, Norim. But it was not. He doesn't learn it as being her sin. He connects Moavia to more of her frame of mind and how things are going over her head. And that she didn't understand the Yibum issues, and she didn't understand that boys and girls are supposed to be separate. He doesn't learn it as a sin. However, it seems to me that Chazal are condemning her, and certainly we have this Chometz business to explain from before, and I'd like to propose yet another pshat. How did she sin? What did she do wrong? Why is she called Rusa Moavia? Right, no, I said, so then Chazal says it's because she was Misgayer, but here she did something Moabite, with Moabite tendencies, a Moabite characteristic. So what was it? So he says, the Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz says Pritzus. But I want to propose something else. You tell me what you think of this. It's my own proposal. He says that I want to say that Nomi mentioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu many, many times. Well, it's also mentioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu many, many times. Where does Ruth mention Hashem? She doesn't give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She just says, yeah, Boaz was a very nice guy. Nomi says, Baruch Hu LaHashem. And Boaz himself before said, Bruchat LaHashem, whatever, Shalim HaShem, Pa'olech, Maskurtech, Shlema. Where is Ruth mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu? She's not yet sensitive to seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha and everything. And that's why I think Moavia comes to connote that she doesn't yet have that sensitivity. And that's what allows a Menashe to come about. You know, if you're always Shivisha Hashem Lenegdi Tomei, there's not going to be any idolatry. If there's some pgam, some shortcoming, then that can lead ultimately to something very terrible like Menashe. Perhaps. I'm just proposing that as a possibility. In the meantime, let's finish the perek. Vatomer Nomi. Nomi said, El Rus, Kalasa, to Rus, the daughter, Tov Biti, this is good, my daughter. Ki Tate Eib, Im Narasah, for you to go out with his girls. Vloiv Gubach, Mr. Achen, they shouldn't find you in another field. Vatidak Benaros Boaz, and she connected to the girls of Boaz, Lake, to collect, are close to Tira Torah and Tira Chitim, so the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And the Mepharshim say, the Chazal say that's 3 months. She's collecting for 3 months, and that's in fact the amount of time a Gioris is forbidden to marry a Jew. Why not? Might be pregnant, if I'm right. But she didn't. She always went back to her mother-in-law. In other words, for even those 3 months, she spent every night she'd go back to her mother-in-law as part of her chesed, and we're emphasizing that she never forsook her mother-in-law. That was constantly her pursuit. Imanorim, yeah. Oh, so she wanted to get. She was thinking tachlis of Norim. Yeah, they're not for you. You go with the girls because we have bigger plans for you. That's an interesting fact. Could be, yeah. Okay, but Vatomer Lo Naomi Chamosa. Now Naomi says to her, BT, my daughter, hello, Avakesh Loch Manocha Shaita Vloch, I want to look for you for a rest, which is good for you. Now, we know Naomi's about to say something extraordinarily brazen. She goes down to the barn in the middle of the night and lies down next to Boaz. So she has to soften Naomi, Ruth up a little bit. She's saying, my daughter, you know, very in terms of endearment, and I'm looking for only for your good. And she has to paint the end which will justify the means. How it's very important for her to get married. And then, as she started with this introduction, she cuts to the chase. Vata, and now, obviously, you know, she could have said other things, which the Navi is now reporting to us. She's giving us the gist of the conversation. Vata lo Boaz madatano. Boaz is our acquaintance. Ashrais is now Rosa, and you were together with his girls. Hine, who Zorah is going to Sorim Alayla, tonight he's threshing his grain. This evening he's threshing his grain out of the field. So the Malbim explains that tonight is an ideal night for you to go there without arousing suspicion, because there are going to be a lot of people around threshing the grain. Rashi says, why did he sleep by the silo? Because theft was still rampant. Right? There's a lot of theft in that time. People were not yet all civilized after the great famine which had occurred several years ago. What? No, he would guard it. Yes, they're chareds. If Boaz is sleeping there, they're not going to steal. But he had to sleep there in order to make sure that nobody came. Okay. However, Yosef Livitz has a very beautiful shot. I want to show it to you. You take a look on page 9, I think it is. Yeah. 9. Nine. Where the little A is. Sefer Rus Megal Lefanedu, the book of Rus reveals in front of us, Yosi Mikol Shah Sifrei Pi HaKadosh, more than any of the other the holy books, as Havaya Chaim Ayom Yomim, the customs of the daily life in Tanakh, at the time of Tanakh. Really, it gives us, you know, whenever I read Rus, you get a picture as if you're in a Beis Lechem of many years ago. Just, it puts you into the atmosphere, right? Umachniseinu puts us in b'chol avayosam, into the whole milieu shel ishei Megillah, the people of the Megillah. B'lechdam v'om, their goings and comings. B'shichvam v'kumam, their lying downs and their risings. L'fi misageinu anu, according to our perspective, like Yonatan said before, anu kasher lanu l'shavos v'aneinu, it's difficult for us to depict before ourselves ech sheboaz ha'omed b'roshvam, who stands at the head of the nation, shochei b'kzei harimah, is lying at the edge of the pile. B'shomer sagon is watching the silo. And Chazal lo ru b'zet munah primitivis. Chazal didn't see this as a primitive picture. El kavum is that klal doros. They learn from this a basic principle. Tzadikim, mamonam chavim maleim. Their money is precious for them. Yoyser migufa, more than the bodies. Lefish ain't poshim dem begezel, because everything they get is they got their own. They never steal. Bisnagusos shabos, and Boaz's activity or conduct, mikupelas smuna, is folded a picture. Hamlamedes osan alochol ma'isa, teaches us alochol ma'isa. Shafilo odam ayoyser gadol, even the greatest person, chayev lishmar mamonos, got to watch his money. Vein lechod dovish etzorch lakevos, so nothing should impede him from this. Kach darkus shel Torah, this is the manner of the Torah. V'chein noag Yaakov avinu ma'avar yabok, and Yaakov also the same thing by ma'avar yabok. What did he forget? Pachim Tanim, right? Shalach Shevir Kol Chusha Rav, after he took over all his great property, Kmo Shemida Torah, Atzma Torah says, Vayifra Tiakamodi had a lot of stuff. Chazir went back and shoot Pachim Tanim for small cans. Lamdeinu teacher Shagamba Shirus, even a person's rich, Tzarech Adam Lachpida Kol Prut, the person has to be Machpida on every dime. The Davis Elam Dano Chazal Gamasipra Altevas Moshe. I don't know where he knows this from, but he says Moshe Rabbeinu, when they made him the little ark, Shatar Magisha Shalosa Sumiets Pasha. Torah emphasized they made it from cheap wood. They used particle board, whatever. They used something cheap. Without paying attention to what perhaps some better wood would be good for this kid, maybe mahogany, I guess mahogany would sink. But in any event, even under such condition, in such a situation, which a person can't depict, a person still has to have in mind not to waste and to save. We tell chashash lo yavli yegez lest you come to steal. Tfisosenu shalonu, our perspective, einay choshlim cannot jibe in tzim to a mochim shekazel with such narrow-mindedness. When you analyze this team, so you'll find Shekhani Yisod Musad, there's a basic foundation here, Labinia Chaim, for building what's life, Elkim Olam, sustaining the world. For Karlim Da Osanu Atorah of Parshas Hamabul, and Torah taught us by the flood, Shabavur Mishtar Shalchamos, because of a reign of theft, Nimcha Olam Milo, the entire world is destroyed. V'nishar Alonu Alocha, and we left with Alocha La'ayim to threaten Alosi Avil Chaver, people who cheat their friends, V'mishapara Mendora Mabul, Mendora Floga, that we're going to make them the Mishapara and Shul for reneging on their words. V'shemikipuach Katan, because of a small cheating, Shonim Chaber. A person cheats his friend, the line is straight Adar Amabu to the generation of the flood. And any small cheating, v'chamos and theft, only come because a person does not suffice which the little he has, but rather is constantly driven to increase as kinyonav his property on the other person's cheshbon. This is an entire study, Shemekifa, which envelops as Kosi Jerachim all the orders of life. So a person should limit himself. Umele Loya Nimshal, a person should not be drawn, Masha'en Shalom, something which is not his. Vilu Behunach, Be'emesi, so there, where this principle adopted, Be'binyan Achev, building society, the Chinuch of Shayadim, and educating people, Hayo Amin Anoshi, then the human race would be Nito, would be saved, Milkola Milchomas from all the wars, Shemitzrakshos, which arise, Vahochos, and come about, Shakoistar in all of history. Veloya boast all that will not come to the world, Kol Kil Kolos, all the ruinations, Fatis Bochos, and the complications, Shonu of Adim Lohem Gama Yom, which we written this even today. Umiyot there, who knows if we were taught the lesson of maybe Stapkus Bemuad, of sufficing with what we're given, and that which we can achieve honestly, Mayu Oz Pnei Achaim, what then would be the face of the life, would be not Shalom and the construction of the world. Ach Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu also, Shayyado Nidno Adibros, who was given the commandments, Lo Tignov, Lo Sachmod, Vishkam Adibros, Lo Sirtach Kruchabam, and also murder, which comes about from theft and coveting, Be'etzim Tzadar Rishon Ba'olam, in his first step in the world, Franis Gashim Yikaron, he already fulfilled the principle, Shal Himanus Minamotros, of refraining from luxuries. When, of course, he took his sheep out into the desert, in order to avoid having them steal from other people's fields. Moshe Emes, Moshe's true, but Taraso Emes. She Taraso needs Kaima Begufo, he fulfilled the Torah in his body. V'zela Tmuna Shetir Lona Navi Gam, Me'avir Mashiach. This is a picture also which the Navi is drawing for us from the father Mashiach, Miboaz. She Machol Ha'yaloa Golim Ptumim. He didn't eat steaks. Ela Pas Bechometz. He had bread with vinegar, the kuli, and toasted grain. Uva atzmo heyoshomer esgrono, and he himself would watch his silo. Shaydei chayim keila, by this kind of lifestyle, chay pashtus, a simple lifestyle, uva tzimtzum, and limiting oneself, yicholim livnos chever shol tzedek v'yosher, one can build a society of justice and of straightness. That's a very interesting perspective he has here. It was that Boaz went down himself to watch it, because it was precious to him. And want to make sure all my property should be safeguarded because I don't steal, I am honest. Very interesting concept. Okay, let's go to the Pasuk Gimel, it's getting late already.
Didn't murder. Because he should have been there.
Right, they were murderers, right. No, traditionally Jews don't murder each other.
Seeing the whole city, Krakow, Russia, once over there.
Yeah.
There was one murder of a million Jews.
In which city?
Krakow,
a million Jews in one murder.
And it wasn't
yeah, they say the Kabbalists say that Jewish sin is taiva, arayas. Murder is a goyisha sin. That's not our kind of sin. Okay, let's. We have enough problems, but okay, let's pass the gimel. V'rachatz v'sacht, you should wash yourself. V'sacht, and put on oils, perfumes. V'samtsim osayach, and put on your dresses. Now the Rambam says a very cute thing. He says, what, she puts on her Shabbos dress? Everybody's going to know she's going for, you know, little illicit purposes there. So Mom says, samtsim osayach doesn't mean she should put it on. It means put it on your shoulder. Take your simla, take your Shabbos clothes down with you, but change when you get there. The samsim losach means put them on your shoulder, and put them on when you get there, and then if you're right at the going, go down to the silo. Altivodilish, don't go speak to any bad people. Akalosola to the person, to boss. Akalosola chovishos until he finishes eating and drinking. So the Rashi gives you a whole allegorical interpretation from the Medrash. Rechat says, clean yourself from Avodah Zorah. The Sach means anoint yourself with mitzvahs. Samsim L'sayach, your Shabbos clothes. Right, the Goren, and come down, go down. And Schusi Tered Imach, and my merit will go down with you. So I believe, what's the merit of Naomi, which is going down with her? I think it's Naomi's intent, L'shem Shemayim. I'm not sure Ruth fully realizes what she's going out to do and what great destiny awaits her. But Naomi realized it. She saw the Yad Hashem in all these strings of coincidences. It went right over Ruth's head. Ruth was a big tzaddik, she was involved in chesed, but she didn't have the Jewish sensitivity to all the string of coincidences which was occurring. Naomi says, I shall tell you, this is the way to go, this is the way we're going to bring about the gula. Yes, you're asking good. I have a wonderful shot in that, and why it should be this way and not another way, but we're going to have to leave it for next week because it's late. In Pasuk Dalet, I have it. You can see what I have written down there. We don't know. But in Pasuk Dalet, I have it written down on my notes here. You can take a look, peek ahead. That's how I'll speak about next week. We'll have to stop here.